I apologize for my entrance. I should have worked out a ramp or something in a unicycle and ridden up to try and top the children's message. But let's read the word of the Lord together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Their flowers will fade and grass will wither. The word of the Lord will stand forever. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you have given us this psalm. And we just thank you so much that we can read this today and ponder it and think about it and apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray for myself that I would just be your vessel, weak and empty, and you would just use your spirit to guide my tongue and to direct my words, that they would in fact be your words to your people. And Lord, I just also pray for the people that are in front of me and the people that are listening to this message. I just pray that the Spirit would be in them, just guiding their hearts and minds to be able to hear what you have to say to them, to hear what you want to say to them at the beginning of this year. And I pray that this message just wouldn't go into their head, that it would make their way to their heart, but also to their hands, that their life would be transformed and their life would be different because of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. New Year's resolutions. I'm sure all of you have done one in your life. We look in the mirror and we see something about us that we do not like. Some of it is physical and some of it is inside of us. We look at ourselves and we think that instead of being a shape, we want to be in shape. Instead of just being round, we want to transform our body. We think, and maybe we look at our family and we look at how we could be different and what actions we could do in the next year to transform our family or a marriage. And we put things in place and we say, this year I'm going to be better at. We see something that is inside of us or it's something about us that we do not like, and we look towards the future and we say, who do we want to be and what do we want to become? It might be with parenting. It might be with jobs or careers or finances or hobbies. There are things that we look at in our life and we want that to transform us. We want us to be different people at the end of 2016. There was something in 2015 we didn't want to be, and now we want to transform that. So we want to resolve that. We want to try and turn that around and change that. And maybe for some of you, 2015 was a terrible year. You're so happy to see it gone. The loss of a loved one. Or maybe your kids going off to college. Maybe your job was just pulled out from underneath you. So many changes, so many differences. Maybe it's in your house and your marriage is falling apart and you think, I'm glad that year is over. So much is weighing on this number, changing from a 5 to a 6. And we think that this is going to be the year. 2016 will be the year that everything changes. And that's what we want. We want to resolve it. We want to change it. So what's your New Year's resolution? Who do you want to become in 2016? What are your dreams and aspirations? Is 2016 the year that you're going to come home early from work to spend more time with your kids? Is it you're going to start to invest more time in your marriage? The year that your job is going to change and you're going to get promoted. And at the end of 2016, you want to be in a better financial situation than you are today. What aspects of your life do you aspire to become better in? You want a better car. You want a better career. You want a better house. Happier family. What is your New Year's resolution? And although this passage does not direct us to read this on a 365-day cycle, that this is a New Year's resolution verse to read, it is does show us how to live our life and the choices that we make. And some big choices that we make can actually resolve and change your life, not just in 2016, but for a long time coming. So we start in Psalm 1. And it says, blessed is the man. But before we get into the actual psalm itself, I want to explain Psalms as a whole. Kind of just a walkthrough idea. And there's two points that I want to kind of point out. And the first one is that Psalms are poetry. They're songs. They're artistic. You know, it shows so much emotions. John Calvin says this, it's an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. We see expressions of praise, of joy, to abandonment, just feeling alone, from fear to gratitude, to contentment, to anger, to depression and disappointment, uncertainty, restlessness, to praise and adoration. There's this vast array of colors and scopes in the Psalms, and they're just so poetic and beautiful. And I think sometimes we understand that, but sometimes I don't think we partner that with, we understand that it needs to be the Word of God. That it, in fact, is not just man's word to God, but it's, in fact, God's word to man. That we need to read this as God speaking to us today. So when we read it, we need to understand those two elements. And generally, we understand one of those elements. So in this passage, we understand that, you know, it's poetic. He doesn't specifically mean he's like a plant planted in the streams of water, that we need to move our plants closer to streams of water, that we only need to plant trees that bear fruit. We only need to plant trees that are always green, because it leaves a literal sense. It's poetic. But the message in that is so deep and rich that still applies to us. So we need to understand that when we read the psalm. So blessed is the man. The Hebrew would say, oh, happy is the man. Oh, happy, happy is the man. This idea that it's not just this idea of blessing of like physical things. It's also this inner being, that happy contentment, this feeling inside. Happy is the man, or blessed is the man. And we want to read this, and you're either in two categories when you want to read this. You want to just have a period at the end of this. Blessed is the man, and let's just put that on a poster or a cup. And that'll make us all feel good, right? Blessed is the man, yeah. I want to be blessed. Or we want to see something that is so tangible that we can measure it. Blessed is the man who attends church 90% of the time. Blessed is the man who tithes. Blessed is the man who doesn't do tax evasion. You know, we want a specific answer when we see blessed is the man. But it doesn't necessarily come down to blessed is the man. It actually tells you the opposite. Blessed is the man who does not. And with this idea, it shows this idea of that there's two ways. These two different outcomes. There's these two different paths. One will lead to blessing or happiness. And the other will lead to something else. It shows this, blessed is the man who doesn't do this. So if you do this, you won't be blessed. There's this pathway, this choice. And these choices are the righteous road or the wicked way. There's the two paths that we see in front of us. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the way, the counsel of the wicked. It doesn't say that blessed is the man who is not wicked. It says that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Again, it's not just this doing. It's actually this idea of, I want to be like them. I want to follow them. I see the wicked people and I want to aspire to be like them. I'm going to take their advice. I'm going to follow what they say. I'm going to hear their counsel. But he says, blessed is the man who does not do that. But then we also see this kind of spiral, That it's not just walking with people or walking in the counsel of the wicked, but it's actually standing with them. And actually getting to a point where you actually sit with them. There's this idea that you become one of them. You become a wicked person. It's not just walking past someone or standing with someone. It's actually you're sitting and being a part of it. There's a location that you end up in if you walk down this wicked way. There's this location. There's this idea of going down this wicked way. This idea of following their counsel. And where will that counsel end up and lead you to? To sit with them. But big buts. Love big buts in the Bible. He doesn't just end with that and just say, this is what not to do. He says, blessed is the man who delights himself in the law of the Lord. Again, it's not this idea of something to be measured. It's not this idea of blessed is the man who knows the Bible inside out. Blessed is the man who knows and quotes Bible verses. Blessed is the man who understands the middle letter in the Old Testament. It's not this idea of a measurable task, but it's more an emotion and a feeling. Someone who delights himself in the law. And this guides that path to be able to know and to memorize and things like that. They're outcomes of this delight. In March this year, Sarah and I are going to welcome a new baby into our family. And there's moments, I'm sure, I've been told, and I kind of believe it, that there'll be times where I'm woken up in the middle of the night. At those moments, I'm sure it will not be a delight. There's moments where I'm sure my wife will look at me and have her nose plugged up and look at me and he's your son or he's your daughter, she's your daughter, and hand the baby to me and I'll have to change a diaper. I'm sure at those moments, that's not a delight. There's this idea that delight fuels those actions. There's this idea that because of my love for my child, I will do that. Doesn't mean that moment or that thing is a delight, but it's this feeling inside that leads me to do things. So we do study it. And he does say in the next verse, this idea of meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. It's not just something that we do once a month. It's not this idea that we just do it occasionally. It's this idea that we meditate on it day and night. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our actions. When we're doing things, it's because of my love for the law, my love for the Lord, that we do these things. It's because of my delight in him that I act this way. So maybe one of your New Year's resolutions might actually be to read through the Bible in a year. One of your New Year's resolutions might just be, I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to dust it off and I'm going to get it from the back of the shelf and I'm going to read it. And that'll fuel this delight. So there's a couple of ways you can do that. My first recommendation is that if anyone has a smartphone or tablet or computer or internet, which is most people, I guess, is this idea. Go to Google and type in YouVersion. YouVersion, as in you and then a version. And it's this Bible software that you can go in, you sign in, and then you create an account. But what you do is you can select Bible plans. So you can either go through this Bible in a year, you can go through it in 2 years. There's so many plans. If you think, okay, I'm going to try and focus on my marriage this year, there's a Bible plan for that. And then you can read with your wife or read through with your husband with this. So you just do that. There's so many different types of plans. But the good thing about this is sometimes when I've started to read through the Bible in a year, I get to like the begot section. Where this person begot this section and I miss a day. And then I miss another day and then I miss another day. But the cool thing about this is you can either hit a button which says catch me up. So it then compresses what you have to get done to finish on the end date, or it just moves what you have to be done later. So instead of reading the Bible in a year, you read it in 13 months. So there's that. Or you can just go to any Christian bookstore and buy it. There's Bible in a year's. And what they do is they just put dates on it. You just read it. So how do you delight in the law and meditate on it? There needs to become this something from inside that you need to resolve and say, I'm going to try and do this. But not be like the Pharisees and say, I need to do this. But this is the opposite of what we think we actually do. We actually think that the Bible is not that much of a priority in our life. Because our New Year's resolutions do not generally reflect this verse. Our New Year's resolutions generally reflect going down a different path. We don't delight in the Bible. We don't meditate in the Bible. It's not a part of our life. We're worried about our health physically right now. We're worried about our life right now. And we don't have an outcome. We don't have a solution that we're aiming for in the long run. But the righteous road is like a tree. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. And his leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. There's this illustration, this idea that you go down this path that eventually you will be planted. This idea that you will bear fruit. Because of this delight, because of this joy, there will be this fruit from that. It will change your life. It'll change the outcome. It'll have an effect on you. So we see this idea of the righteous road and being a delight, having a delight in the word and also meditating on it day and night. But we also see this idea of the wicked way. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff that drives, the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. When we understand when this passage was written, there's this idea of chaff that they would just grow grain and it would just grow up and over a season they would collect it. But the way that they would have to filter it is that weeds would just grow up. But if you go up and pull out all the weeds, you're sometimes going to pull out all the plants that you planted, the thing that you actually want. But these weeds grow up, and the way that they would sort that out is this idea of separating the chaff from the grain. They would have this big pile of chaff and grain, and instead of going through and picking it one by one, they would just get a pitchfork and shove it in and throw it up. But the grain had some weight to it, and the grain would just fall back down. But the chaff was useless. The chaff was so light. The wind would just blow and just blow it away. It's this idea, it's here today, gone tomorrow. And I think that's how we live our life a lot. That's what we focus on. We focus on the next 3 years. We focus on the next 5 years and we forget about eternity. But I think sometimes we get sidetracked by the wicked way. Because it's not clearly signed just saying this is the path of doom. Don't go down this way. It's so enticing. Because who doesn't want a better family? Who doesn't want a better car? Who doesn't want a better house? And it's this entice from everyone around. But we need to understand that those things will fade. Those things will wither. But the word of God will stand forever. We live life, we live 80 years on this life, and it's this much in eternity. We save up to a certain point, and then we retire so we can enjoy life. And then we're like chaff, and we're just gone. This idea that they will not stand in the judgment or in the congregation of the righteous. In the first half of the psalm, we see this separation from righteous to the wicked. For here and now. But in the end, we see the separation from righteous to wicked for eternity. For a long time. Jesus says those words that enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, but the way is easy and leads to destruction. And those that enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. For those who find it are few. We all walk down that wicked road. We all walk down that wicked way. There's something inside of us that just draws us to it. That lures it. We see our neighbors and we aspire to be like them. We dream of something more, something better. If only my life was like this. If only I had more money in the bank account. If only I had a different job. If only my spouse was nicer. If only my children were better behaved. We have this idea of this physical sense. But we all go down that path. Some of us are further down. Some of us are just walking down it. Others, they've made their home on it. They live there. They're planted there. They're seated there. But we all need to understand that there's only one person who has ever walked the righteous road and completed it. There's only one person that has gone down that righteous path and lived a life where his delight was actually in the law of the Lord. And he did, in fact, meditate on it day and night. Jesus was the only person who walked that righteous road. We all know the verse in Romans where it says the wages of sin is death. That is the wicked way. That is the way that we're heading down. But that verse around it actually talks about the righteousness of Christ. That righteousness actually comes ours. That we take on that righteousness that he lived. Or in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter where you are. 2016, whether you thought 2015 you were on way and you were way down. It doesn't matter whether 2016 was the year that you said, okay, I'm going to start the righteous path. I'm going to start the righteous road. Jesus has walked that path and we need to follow him. So wherever you are on those paths, that righteousness can be here in yours. Jesus died on a cross so that we might have his righteousness. And the last verse says this, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God knows the way of the righteous. He knows you. He wants you to know him. And in 2016, I want you to think about which path you want to be like. Because at this point, you have one option that has two completely different outcomes. You have one option that you will perish. And the other option is that God knows you. That doesn't mean that we'll always succeed, that we'll never fail. But those moments we look to Christ's righteousness and we thank Him for dying on the cross. Jeremiah says a very similar thing in Jeremiah 17. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a plant, a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." For some people, 2015 was a year to forget. And for others, 2016 will be a year to forget. It might be the most difficult year of your life. But in Jeremiah, we see that even in a year of drought, the leaves still remain green. Not because of the tree's doing, but the location of where the tree is. Planted by streams of living water. So for you this year, how are you going to head down that righteous road? What are you going to put in place to try and accomplish that? My first recommendation would be read the Bible. For 30 days, that's my challenge for you. Just go through the book of Matthew. 28 chapters, you'll be finished by January 31. I'm not promising your bank account will be full. I'm not promising that your spouse will automatically be the best person ever. But just start with that. And after that, maybe just go through the Psalms. One a day. Start by planting your life next to the life source itself. Start by trying to have delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate on it. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much for your word. That as we go into 2016, that your word is not only good for 2016, but for eternity. That this is a 365 days that are a dot in your mind. But yet you care about us and know us. And that right now that you're giving us, showing us these two ways to live. I just pray that we would go into this year humbly and just recognizing that we're all down that wicked way. But because of what you did for us, because of your love for us, that we can actually, in fact, be on that righteous road with you and following after you. I just pray that whatever the outcome might be of this word, that people would go home and just think about how they can live for you and have a delight in your word and also meditate on it day and night. Just thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.